Thank you so much for joining us on Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. This week marks the 10-year anniversary when my next guest became a household name for taking down Anthony Weiner as he was knee-deep in his campaign for mayor of New York City. He had already gone through a scandal a year before, and that was somewhat behind him, where he felt like he could run for office again and do well. But little did he know, Sidney Leathers was going to come up and ruin that for him. So welcome, Sidney. I can't wait to talk to you all about this. How Thanks. Are you today?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I want to talk about where you were at in life and who Sidney Leathers was before you even knew of Anthony Weiner. Talk to me about you.
Yeah. So at the time I started speaking with him, I was only 22 years old. So very young, naive, impressionable, all of that stuff. I had had a really, really traumatic, terrible childhood. I had just started to go to therapy for that. I'd been diagnosed with PTSD. It was like really trying to work on my stuff, but I was just at the very beginning of trying to address that stuff.
Yeah.
So I just was not in a great place in my life for sure. Mm-hmm. So we start talking when I'm 22. It carries on for a while. He starts running for mayor. I turned 23. When I was 23, I was outed. I had initially spoken to someone anonymously about everything. And after I spoke anonymously, someone at BuzzFeed outed me, using my full legal name, photos, everything. So that is obviously something that really like upends your life.
Yeah.
At the time, I was working in law firms. I thought that I would go to law school. I actually had just enrolled in a paralegal program, and that was like all paid for. My books were bought, everything. Wow. And then I got outed the month before I was supposed to start that.
So you had a really conservative job. But what about back in 2011, like when Anthony Weiner first came into the news for his first scandal? Like, what were you doing? Who were you back then?
Back then, I was, I feel like, a much more serious person and very interested in politics. And like, that's obviously how I knew who he was. Mm-hmm. I was very passionate about that. Very pretty dorky at that time of my life. I feel like I just like watched MSNBC all day and was like very invested in what was going on politically in the country.
Mm-hmm. What were
very different from?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say very different from most people my age at that time. Mm-hmm.
What was your thought on politics in general? Like where did you lean?
I definitely was very left leaning. I'm from Illinois, a Democratic state. And, you know, Obama was my senator. I got to vote for him my first two elections. Was very excited about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was very, you know, invested in the political world. And that's why I was interested in this person in the first place. For
right.
Sure.
So what did you think about Anthony Weiner's scandal the first time it came around? So people that may be listening that don't know about it, Anthony Weiner was in politics at the time. I think he was just in Congress. Is that, do you remember?
Yeah.
But he was known as like a scrappy guy who didn't take shit from anybody. I mean, he really made a name for himself back then. And let's see, he was part of the Democratic Party. He consistently carried the district with 60% of the vote. I mean, he was kind of a big deal at the time. And then it came out that he had taken a photo of himself with his, you know, private parts and his underwear or whatever, and had sent that to somebody, right? Was that the first scandal that came out?
Well, he tweeted it accidentally. I think he meant to DM somebody and he actually tweeted it. And then he lied and said he was like being framed by like, I think he tried to say like Andrew Breitbart framed him or something. And I was an idiot. I actually thought this person was framed. So I believed him. Ooh. And that's actually how we began talking when it came out that he was lying. I DM'd him and I was like, you're a piece of shit, basically.
Wow. And did he respond?
Yes, surprisingly. Wow. I think it was like a few months later. But yeah, he did reply to that. Also, to backtrack a little, at the time, I thought a lot of what you were saying was true about like, oh, he's this like scrappy do-gooder. In reality, he was just somebody who was a blowhard and he was loud for attention, but he wasn't really passing any meaningful legislation. He wasn't really a good member of Congress.
That's interesting.
He was just Yeah, yeah. He was just somebody who was loud trying to make a name for himself and who was like an attention whore, but he wasn't really someone who was good at his job, which is something I know now as somebody who is older and more mature and knows more about these things. But at the time, I did not realize this.
Right. Okay, so you had been talking to him from, were you talking to him from 2011 to 2013? What was your relationship with him?
I think it was more like maybe end of 2011. It's hard to remember now. It's been so long, but yeah. Something around that.
And what were your conversations like? How did it get into an intimate, you know, turn? How did it turn that way?
I mean, I think he just saw that I was like an attractive, much younger woman. So he was interested. Yeah.
Wow. So tell me about your kind of conversations that took place. How often were you speaking a day?
I mean, it's hard to say now. It's been a million years. But we spoke a lot, and he definitely would like dangle carrots to keep me interested. He would like say he was going to get me a job or an apartment or, you know, things that wealthy older men will say to keep a younger woman interested.
Right.
And I'm not going to lie, that definitely played into me being in the situation as long as I was, you know.
So he was making you false promises, and then you guys were having some amount of phone sex, right? Or
sexting and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this lasted for at least a year?
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm.
So at this point then in 2013, he decides he's going to run for mayor. Does he tell you this or you had to read about it?
He did tell me this, which I thought was weird. but the moment that I remember that really like struck me was he did this People magazine article. And he's like on the cover of People magazine with his wife. And it's all this stuff about how he's like a changed man and he would never behave in the ways that he did previously. And it was all bullshit and it was super hypocritical. And I really don't like hypocrites. And it really just rubbed me the wrong way. Mm. And yeah, I don't know. That was like a turning point for me. He actually sent me the article and I think he thought I would like think it was funny. Mm-hmm. But really, I was like, wow, this guy really is a piece of shit. You know?
Did you guys ever speak about his relationship with his wife?
Never once. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he never mentioned her. I never did either. It was just like, yeah, never something we addressed.
And did he talk about his kid? He has one kid, I think.
Yeah, no, that was, we never talked about anything other. We talked about his work, but we never talked about like his personal life on that level, like family. No, never. Right. I kind of assumed maybe they had some sort of arrangement because she stayed with him after the previous sexting stuff. Mm-hmm. But I never asked.
Right. Okay. So you basically outed him during his campaign and it really floored the campaign. They did not know how to come up with a cohesive response to it. And it really, you know, at that time, I think he was doing really well in the polls. And
he was number one in the polls.
Yeah. And I think you outing him, you know, it just derailed it because they were like, oh my God, not again, another scandal, another way he's lying to us. So tell me the story about how you outed him.
So I gave information anonymously to a gossip blog because I did not want to be attached to this story in any way. I've seen how the media treats young women, especially young sexual women, you know, anybody in a, like a scandalous situation. So I definitely wanted no part of that.
But hold on, before you tell me that part of it, what made you say, okay, I'm going to out him now. I want to tell somebody this story because you could have just had a conversation with him and been like, how could you run for mayor? You're a total liar. You're still cheating on your wife. Everything you say is not true. You're a hypocrite. But then there's, you know, a whole nother level of outing somebody publicly and, you know, basically derailing their career. What made you say, I have to let people know about this?
Well, I didn't derail his career. He derailed his career.
That's a very good point. I shouldn't say it like that. You're absolutely right. But what made you say, I need to let people know?
Just that People magazine article. That was the turning point. When he sent that to me and thought it was funny that he was like pulling one over on people and knowing he was number one in the polls. And I mean, mayor of New York City is a pretty serious job. You know, to feel like this person was a liar and a fraud and, you know, thought it was funny that he was, you know, lying to potential constituents and repeating this previous awful behavior. Like, I don't know. I just couldn't keep that to myself. I actually felt like it was important to share. And again, I thought why would I want to be attached to this story? I've never wanted to be famous, or really infamous is more of the correct term, I feel like, in this case. So I gave everything anonymously to this gossip blog and thought, like, I did it. It's out there. Like, nothing will ever come from this past this point for me.
So was that the dirty? Was that when you reached out to Nick Ritchie?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how did you get a hold of him? What did he think? I mean, he needs, now I know something about Rick because I've been in his, you know, in his columns before. He may write about really scandalous stuff that some people, you know, think is on over the edge, but at the same time, he checks his sources. So how did you get him to believe you?
Well, we were Facebook friends already, and I had, like, you know, known of him and his site a little bit. And I thought, potentially, this was someone I could trust to keep me anonymous. Like, why would he care? I'm not a public figure. You know what I mean? So I felt like, well, why would he care to include me in the story? So I sent him screenshots of everything. And it's like Wiener's personal Facebook account. It's like very easy to verify. So I sent him my proof, whatever. We spoke about it. I was very much like, you know, I do not want to be associated with this. This will, like, fuck up my life, my career, my future, everything.
I
just didn't even, it sounds naive, but again, I'm 23 at this point. You know, I didn't even think there would be any reason for me to not be anonymous. Like, again, I'm not a public figure. Why would anyone care? I'm no one, and I don't want to be anyone. Mm-hmm. And then BuzzFeed ended up outing me.
So I saw that. How did they figure out it was you?
I actually just found this out recently, Wiener's campaign. They had me outed. I think they thought, well, we'll punish her. You know, we'll put her legal name out there and she will be, like, shunned from society. And most women in scandals do go hide away and they do shut up. Like, Monica Lewinsky went and hid away for what, like 20 years. Mm-hmm. I actually think they thought that that's what I would do. Like, I would be so ashamed and I would be shunned from society and I would just go away and never be heard from again. And that would be my punishment, I think, is what they thought.
That's such an interesting point, though, because I think that when you are outed, it takes away all your credibility, right? So then people go at you and say, is this a credible source? Could we believe her? We don't believe her because of this, that, and the other thing. So do you think they tried to destroy your credibility there to make it seem
true? Of course. Yeah. Totally. But really, it backfired on them because I lost my job over this situation. I don't come from a family where I can be like, hey, dad, I need you to help me with 6 months of rent. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I was on my own at this point. I was taking care of myself entirely. So for my situation, I was like, well, shit, I am in a really bad spot. Like, I now don't have a job because of this. So when tabloid offers were coming in, stuff that I wouldn't have wanted to do previously, it was like, well, I need to make some money now. So I'm going to have to talk about this, even if I don't want to.
Right.
You know, so it definitely backfired on them. Yeah, I'm sure they thought that I would go hide in shame, but I couldn't afford to do that.
That's such an interesting.
I had to take the shameless route.
Yeah. So I totally think that that's interesting that people don't realize that at some point your life changes so much that the things you knew before, how you made money before, or, you know, living on this certain path, you're not able to do that because people don't see you as that same person before the date you became famous. So it's not like you could go work in a law firm. It's not like you could become a teacher. It's not like, you know, because then people know you as being involved in a sex scandal. So you had to take the opportunities that were given to you, which may not have been things that you ever would have done before. Okay, guys, I'm so excited to tell you about our new sponsor, Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. It took me only a minute to download all my information into the app, and after that, I saw how many subscriptions I was paying for that I didn't even know. I mean, when was the last time you joined something just to get a credit check or sign up for a dating app or try things out that you don't even know that you're still getting charged for? I saved myself $500 by canceling these things, and Rocket Money gave me the option to have them cancel it to make it that much easier. Over 80% of people have subscriptions they forget about, and chances are you are one of them. Like that Stars app, just to watch that one show, or that free gaming trial you never actually used. Rocket Money will quickly and easily find your subscriptions, and for anyone you don't want to pay, just hit cancel. It's that easy. Rocket Money also helps you manage all your finances in one place and automatically categorize your expenses so you can easily track your budget in real time and also get alerted if anything looks off. Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person up to $720 a year. Stop throwing away your money, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/understood. That's rocketmoney.com/understood. rocketmoney.com/understood. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating well with dinners you can personalize to your own taste and lifestyle. Make more time for your summer goals with their convenient step-by-step recipes with options ready in less than 30 minutes. Plus, cut down on meal prep with pre-proportioned and prepped ingredients, including pre-measured sauces, spices, and dressings delivered right to your door. Eat well at lunchtime, too, with their 10-minute lunches. Each week's menu includes two convenient, low-prep, and nutritious lunch recipes ready in just 10 minutes. No cooking required. Perfect for when you're on the go or for when you're pressed for time at the office. I try to be conscious of what I eat, and I love that everything in Green Chef is pre-proportioned for me without having to measure. Feel your best with nutritionist-approved recipes, including meals under 700 calories, protein-packed meals with at least 40 grams of protein on average per serving, and flavorful, plant-rich vegan and vegetarian meals featuring certified organic produce, good-for-you grains, and plant-based proteins. Okay, you guys, let me tell you about my experience personally with Green Chef. I got my box delivered to the door and it was so easy. I opened the box. There were three separate meals in bags, all separated for me to make it super easy. Also, it comes with a little card that gives you all the instructions of how to cook. Now, let me tell you something. I do not know how to cook and I get very stressed about thinking that it's going to be really time consuming. I looked at the card. It was 30 minutes or less and I ended up with a sage brown butter chicken piccata that I swear to you tasted like I was sitting in a restaurant. I was so excited. I called my friend Kelly and I said, I'm a chef. I know that sounds ridiculous, but having meals like this in your home literally make you a chef. So you guys, you've got to give Green Chef a try today. Use our special discount code for a great deal. Go to greenchef.com/understood50 and use understood50 to get 50% off plus free shipping. That's greenchef.com/understood50. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well.
I saw that you did a lot of stuff. You were on Howard Stern, right? Mm-hmm. How was that, by the way?
It was great. He's lovely.
You were in talks with different porn studios. You did swimsuit shoots. You did stripping gigs. You did modeling for leather clothes. And you actually did a labiaplasty where you tried to sell your labia for money. Is that true?
Yeah, I would do anything at that point to just like make a few bucks off tabloid shit, like whatever.
And was it helping? Were you able to pay your rent?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I kind of took every opportunity at that point. And it's interesting because I knew at that time that that was like skewing people's view of me. It's very easy for someone to see you doing tabloid stuff and for them to be like, oh, you wanted to be famous. Like clearly you orchestrated this somehow, you know, you're just like a fame whore. But the reality of the situation was I just had to like do what I needed to do to survive, basically. I had to like kind of not care about people's opinions and just like lean into being shameless, I guess.
Yeah. So had you ever done a sex tape before this time or a sex video at all?
No, never. And it's interesting. So I got outed kind of into two parts. I got outed first by BuzzFeed just for the scandal. And then everyone started like digging into my past at that point. And it came out I had been on a sugar daddy site, which was true. Mm-hmm. Somebody, I think, sold a screenshot of my like profile on a sugar daddy site. So when that came out, there were headlines that were like, Sydney Leathers is a prostitute.
Right, right. I love how they love to change that verbiage to make it seem illegal or whatever. But go ahead. Yeah.
And so, that was definitely, I think, part of why porn studios became interested in me. They were like, oh, the sex work angle, like we can play into this. And it's funny, I definitely said no several times to porn offers. Like it took me a minute to be able to be comfortable with that idea. And then not that there's anything wrong with it. It's just not a path I saw myself taking. You know, it's a pretty big leap to go from, I think I'm going to be a lawyer to, oh, I guess I'm going to do porn now. Like, I just didn't really see that in my future.
Right.
So yeah, it took me a minute to be able to like warm up to the idea. But honestly, I'm glad that I did it. I think it was a good opportunity for me. It helped me pay my bills. I did end up going back to college about a year after my scandal.
And you were able to pay for college?
Yeah. Yeah. And wow. I actually, it was very, very nice. I did have a relative, a cousin of mine who, is like almost like a mom to me. We're very, very close. She helped me with college, basically paid my tuition and books. I paid all my living expenses. And because of my situation, I was able to like work as little as possible. You know, I would fly to Vegas, shoot porn on the weekends, go home and be a normal college student. Wow. So I lived kind of a weird double life.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. So you ended up doing more than one. You did a number of different porn videos. How many?
I did, yeah.
How many do you think in total?
I'm not sure. Not a ton. Maybe between like 15 and 20, like not a ton. I was like, I wanted to do as little porn as possible to get by. So I was just like shooting enough to like pay my living expenses while I was in school. But I didn't really care about like making a name for myself in porn. I wasn't like, I'm going to shoot as much as I can. I was like, I'm actually going to shoot as little as possible.
Yeah. Now, not to be rude, you do have a porn name already as a birth name. So did you have to change your name for the videos?
It's really funny. So everyone assumes Sydney Leathers is a fake name because it sounds like a fake name. Yeah. It is very porno, but no, that's my legal name. Mm-hmm. That is really my name. No one ever believes that. but that was like kind of a difficult part of the scandal though, because my legal name is in the press, all the porn studio offers are like contingent on me using that legal name.
Wow.
I couldn't come up with a stage name like most people in porn would. So that's something that, you know, kind of makes you feel vulnerable. You know, it's like that is my legal name.
Right.
So yeah, now I'm in the unique situation of I really would like to change my last name.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
I keep joking with my boyfriend, like I didn't care about marriage before. And now I'm like, well, we have to get married so I can have your last name.
Right. Oh my gosh. So talk to me about the porn parody Wiener and Me. I think Vivid put it out.
Yeah. My first movie was with Vivid.
Oh, okay. So what was it like doing your very first movie?
Definitely different than I thought it would be. I had a good time. Yeah. It wasn't a bad experience. I'm pretty like shy and introverted. So I was like, oh my God, am I even going to be able to do this? Like, but I think actually having like a small history in sex work with the sugar daddy stuff kind of weirdly prepared me for this. I kind of knew how to put on the game face,
yeah.
Like get through something, even if I'm a little shy. So yeah, it wasn't as bad as I thought. It ended up being fine. The people I shot with were lovely. It was a good experience. Yeah.
But so explain like the details of it. Like, did they introduce you to the guy ahead of time? Did they then say, okay, you're going to move here, move there. This is what I want you to do with your body. Like how did that all work?
They like gave me a few different guys as options and I got to choose who I worked with, which was nice. And I selected somebody who looked a lot like a previous like fuck buddy of mine. Oh, and in my mind, I'm like, okay, well, this will be easier because he like looks like someone I'm familiar with. I thought I would have like a little more comfortability because of that. And we met on set the day of and yeah, I don't know. You just go and you get your hair and makeup done and you feel all pretty.
And did you do it all in one take or they had to cut a couple times?
It was a long day because you do like non-sex stuff for like hours before you get to the actual like sex stuff. But yeah, it was like a whole day of shooting.
Oh my gosh.
It was a long day.
Okay. So that's so interesting. So you were talking about your family for a second. What did they think about you and the scandal? What did your friends think of you?
It's interesting. So I would say I pretty much lost all of my friends. Mm-hmm. I lived in a conservative area and everyone very quickly was just like, everyone was just very much like, you know, oh, haha, look at this dumb slut. Like I definitely lost all of my friends at that point, which was a harsh reality check. But on the flip side, my family situation was better. I would say like everyone I'm close to in my family didn't care. Mm-hmm. Like the only people who had anything to say were people I wasn't close with in my family. So it was irrelevant to me. But all the people that I loved and I'm close with and like actually care about their opinions, they know who I am and they like love me and accept me. And yeah, so that was nice. At least I had an easier time on that front for sure.
Right.
And the plus side too, is that like all of my best friends I have now, and even my boyfriend, like these are people I probably wouldn't have met had my situation not happened. So it's like difficult to admit that good came out of this like horrible situation. Sometimes I almost feel like I'm like betraying myself to admit that.
Right.
But a lot of good did come out of it. And yeah, I have like wonderful people in my life now who would never abandon me over any tabloid stuff.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Oh, I love that. So talk to me about your mental health at the time. I mean, I know as someone who's been through a scandal as well, and as someone who knows what it's like when everyone is making an opinion about you, it's being posted, people are talking about you. You are the one that kind of is alone at night and has to live with your thoughts. Yeah. And that becomes really, really difficult. How are you doing emotionally at the time?
At the time, it was very difficult. I would say like the first couple of months were like extremely rough. I mean, I had moments where I actually felt suicidal, especially like immediately after being outed. Mm-hmm. I felt very hopeless. And I was, I felt like my future was kind of stolen from me. And I was like, oh my God, am I ever going to be able to get any kind of job? Like, I kind of couldn't imagine how my life was going to get any better from that point. Mm-hmm. It was definitely like a very dark time. And it's interesting because if you like watch any media stuff of me at the time, I seem like I'm fine. I seem like I'm somebody who has a good sense of humor about things, and I can like put on a brave face, and I'm very good at like laughing at dark stuff. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I seem like I'm fine and happy and all of that. But like you were just saying, when you're alone at night, like it's definitely different, you know?
Right.
So yeah, it was a really rough time. At the time, I think I mentioned earlier, you know, I had just started trying to address some of my childhood stuff. Mm. And I'd been very over-medicated by the person I was seeing trying to address my PTSD stuff. And I think being over-medicated during the time of my whole scandal it definitely made things worse. The medication I was on, I feel like, was making me more like emotional and like kind of erratic. Mm. And just like overall more unstable, I felt like. Maybe like 5 months after my scandal, I ended up going to rehab and getting off of that medication. And then when I got off the medication, I found like legitimate trauma therapy that I had never had before. Mm-hmm. Like I really needed like PTSD specific therapy, not just talk therapy. And I started doing that. And honestly, that like changed my life. That was the best move I've ever made. It made me a much more like stable, functional, happy person, like changed my life in ways that I didn't think would even be possible. So yeah, I really like credit that and going back to school as like the things that kept me like normal and grounded after this like super traumatizing experience.
Right. So have you ever had the opportunity to speak with Anthony Weiner since?
Well, there was another like round of scandals, basically, where a 15-year-old came to me and said that they had been sexting with him. So I did not speak with him about this, but this was something I had to deal with. And basically, the FBI ended up getting involved. He went to prison for a year because it was all true. He's on the sex offender registry now. And in a weird way, like, it was hard because it brought up some of my own like childhood trauma stuff. It was like very triggering for me. So it like gave me a whole new set of stuff I had to work through. But in a weird way, it also gave me some closure to the situation and kind of made me realize like I was not entirely the villain in this situation. And this is an older man that takes advantage of young women and sometimes minors. And I also found out that there had been like a 17-year-old before me that the media like barely spoke about. And yeah, it just seemed like, you know, people really made a lot of excuses for this guy's behavior. And when a man does something and has a sex scandal, people tend to say things like, oh, he's a sex addict, and like make these excuses for him. That these excuses are not made for the women. You know, the women are vilified and like made into a laughing stock, and the men are kind of like given a pass. So I don't know. I felt like it was kind of like a full circle thing and kind of, yeah, gave me some closure to everything, I think.
It's interesting you say that. He went to rehab. I think he went to the Meadows and checked himself in for sex addiction, right?
Yeah, which even that is like a kind of a sketchy thing. Like most people say sex addiction isn't even a real thing.
Yeah.
So I think it's just like an excuse that powerful men use to excuse their bad behavior.
So what do you think his bad behavior was from? I mean, do you think he was in a bad marriage? Do you think he was looking for attention? Do you think he had a sex addiction? Obviously, it sounds like you don't. But like, what do you think was
maybe,
going on with
I him? Think maybe there's some sort of like compulsion for sure. But I don't know if it's like a sex addiction, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. I can't diagnose him. I don't know what his problem is. But I do think he's a terrible person.
You do. Okay, so that was my next question.
I think anyone that takes advantage of someone that they know is 15 years old is an awful person. Like to me, that's like irredeemable. Yeah.
I agree. So you don't feel like you owe him an apology in any way, shape or form.
Oh no.
Do you think he owes you an apology?
I mean, of course, like if it's true, and I know it's true, he had me outed because the person who told me was one of the reporters involved in the story. So like, yeah, sure. But I don't really expect that. Or actually, to be honest, I don't even want that. I would never want to be in contact with this person again. And it's been so long and I feel like I'm in such a good place in my life now that, yeah, it's kind of like let the past be the past. You
so
know?
If you ran into him, though, how would you feel about that? What would you do?
I would literally turn and walk the other direction.
Okay. What are you doing now? At what point did the job offer stop for the porn or the, you know, the tabloid interviews? At what point did you have to figure out how to make money again on your own?
Yeah, I mean, I could have kept doing porn, but it just didn't feel like something that felt like a career for me. To be honest, I was bored. I felt burnt out. I'd been, you know, shooting porn, but I also would work at all the porn conventions throughout the year. And as I mentioned before, I'm like very introverted and it's just like not for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just felt like that's not my personality. I am a homebody. So now I have been at a company for a little over 2 years. I do marketing and social media for them. It's a company where I get to give back to sex workers. I book sex workers for a lot of photo shoots for us. So I'm still like within that community, but I have like a more corporate role. And it's something I've been super happy doing and like very successful with and like definitely see myself at this company for a very long time. And yeah, it's nice. I work for somebody who can look at my situation and see that I am resilient and like he respects that I have like a sense of humor about my stuff. It's not something where I have a job where I'm like, oh my God, are they going to find out, you know, am I going to get fired for my like sketchy past?
Right. So you can embrace your past in the role that you have now, but you don't have to live your past and do sketchy things to make money.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So I'm super happy and in like a very good place in life.
Good. So what do you think about all these different scandals that have happened since you and the women that get involved? And what would your, well, first of all, just answer that.
I feel like it's interesting because I was already an empathetic person prior to my own scandal. And I think even more so now, and especially when I see women being dragged in the media, like, it like tugs at my heartstrings. You know, that's something I'm very sensitive to. And you know, when you know what that feels like, it's easy to feel like, oh man, like I've even been in situations where somebody has been, being attacked in the media and I've, you know, sent them a message like, hey, I know this sucks. I'm here if you need someone to talk to, like, hope that's not weird. You know, like I've tried to like kind of lend myself to people in similar situations at times.
And do they respond?
Yeah. Yeah, I had one girl specifically, Belle Knox. We kind of became friends. She was somebody who like got outed for doing porn while she was in college, and her stuff blew up in the media, and we were pals for a minute. Yeah, I've definitely tried to be nice to people who were in similar spots.
Yeah, yeah. So what I think is interesting about your situation is that forever you're kind of in your name is entwined in the Anthony Weiner scandal. But what's interesting about that, and obviously you had history with him and, you know, you feel intimately, you know, entwined with him a little bit as well. But what's interesting about it is you've never actually met him, right?
Yeah. Like, and it's so funny too. I feel like people get their scandals confused. Like some people think I'm like from the Elliot Spitzer scandal or that I was like an escort at the time. And like, I have slept with him and I'm like, this was just like a phone sex situation and like a sexting situation. There was no actual sex happening. So that's kind of funny.
Right.
But honestly, like, I feel so far removed from all of that, that it doesn't even like register to me unless someone else brings it up. Like, it doesn't feel like part of my identity. I feel like I've done a very good job. Like, I don't know, just like staying normal about a really abnormal situation. And, I do a lot of like cat rescue stuff and I just like focus on like the stuff that makes me feel good. And when I think of like who I am as a person, my first thought isn't like, oh, the girl from the scandal. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about like all the good things that I do and like the people that love me. And like, I don't know, like none of that registers to me anymore, which is great.
Yes. And I know that takes a long time to get to that place. So I really admire that you're there. Would you trade everything to go back to who you were before 2013?
Actually, no. And if you told me that like right in the midst of it, I would not believe that I would ever have that answer. But I'm a much happier person now. And I really credit like the PTSD therapy I did. You know, I'm in a super good place. And I think healing from some of the childhood trauma stuff really like made a huge difference for me as a person. And yeah, I just feel much more like stable and happy and like solid. And yeah. And I think the cat rescue stuff I've done has been like weirdly healing. And I think I kind of found myself through like, you know, volunteer stuff I've done. And yeah, I don't know. I feel very good about my life now in a way that I was not sure was possible when all of my stuff first came out.
Good. I'm so happy for you for that. All right. So where could people find you if they want to reach out to you? And like, if somebody's going through a specific circumstance and they feel like you've been through what they were through and they want some advice, where could people reach you?
Yeah. On Instagram or Twitter, either one.
And what's your Instagram?
Sydney Elaine XO.
Okay.
And I am verified on there, so it's easy to find me.
Perfect. And you read your DMs and your comments?
Yep.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you so much. I wish you the best. I think it's really important to bring the person behind the headlines to the forefront and let people know who they are, because I think that it's so much more, it's so much more interesting to hear it from you. And also it gives people a different perspective, because so many times there are people in a sex scandal and they just sort of blame the woman. And I think it's very easy now to understand your perspective of why it happened, why you were there. And even though you were in a situation where you were adding to it by doing the sexting, it wasn't sort of what you deserved after the fact. So I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Understood.